Spring meeting to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Kurt Alston.
Here.
Tracy Coluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
On the phone.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Halterway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richka.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevatich. Michael T. Penn.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here, on the phone.
Richard Bowden.
On the phone.
Robert Wolf.
Right here. Can you please read the open public meeting statement?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to our council work session. I will turn it over to Ms. Nordstrom.
Sure. I'll do a quick introduction on behalf of the amendment committee. Excuse me. I just wanted to first compliment the staff. It's been an extraordinarily long and tedious process these last several years, working through creating the recommendation process, creating the process for eventually working through to create proposed amendments. And I think, Tracy, you and I are the only two that were here to remember the first go-around. And I think you and I might agree, which rarely occurs, but you agree with me that it got pretty bad. You had to replace the executive director, and then we couldn't get it done, and we had to get an outside contractor to finish. And it's really been refreshing for me to be involved in the process this time and see it occur appropriately in-house with some consulting from the outside, to bring us to the point today where we can actually review a draft of the recommendation report. And I just wanted to emphasize that this is a draft number one, and that these are not proposed amendments to the regional master plan. These are strictly recommendations for us then to consider and to put out for public and professional input so that we can then, after that process, start to craft appropriate proposed amendments to the regional master plan. So Margaret, James, and Corey are going to have a presentation prepared, going to outline what we have in the draft report. You all have copies of the draft report, and then we'll open for discussion. So,
okay. Margaret? I'm just going to give a brief overview of what we want to talk about this afternoon. Then I'm going to turn it over to Corey for a more detailed presentation. As Kurt mentioned, this is like an important day for all of us, particularly staff, because we have labored a long time to bring this to fruition. We have followed the guidance in the Act, we followed the guidance in the regional master plan itself, and we followed some of the guidelines in the amendment procedure document that was adopted as a guideline document in January. I wanted to talk a little bit first about what the monitoring program recommendation report is. It is a baseline document that sets the stage not only for potential improvements to the regional master plan, but also future iterations. It is, I think, a pretty good distillation of the regional master plan itself. I think anybody who's new to this document coming in will understand the flow of things leading up to recommendations. That's one of the things I'm most proud of, that we have succeeded in doing that. The monitoring program recommendation report is also a supplement. That's okay. To the original regional master plan, in that it presents the first indicators and milestones. These were referred to in the RMP, but sort of in a vague way, we now have concrete examples that we're using indicators and milestones. It's a summary of RMP implementation issues, and this is where the staff has been particularly, I think, invaluable, because they have been working with the regional master plan for, 8 years now, and understand firsthand what things are not working on the ground, and those show up in the recommendations that we're making. It is also an analysis of possible solutions to these implementation issues and resulting recommendations. Now, what the NPRR is not, it does not in itself propose amendments. I want to be very clear about that. We are not talking about amendments to the Regional Master Plan today. There are recommendations contained in the NPRR that could lead to amendments if the Council so chooses. But we're not at that phase at all. It also contains solutions to the implementation issues, and there also is a science and research agenda in this that Corey will get into a little bit later. What we're going to cover today is basically the structure of the NPRR in a general way, and then we'll look at one topic area in depth so you can understand how all the pieces flow together. It's really very logical. It's like exciting reading, but it's not, I think, terribly strenuous reading. I think you can all get through it, as can everybody else. And then what we need to do, what the staff would like to do, and you'll be asked to vote on this, is we need to release this document for public comment. We have taken it as far as we can as staff. We need to hear from the public, we need to hear from the various interest groups, and we need to hear from you people, from the council as well, particularly if you have recommendations of your own, so that we can work with all of you to do a final edit of this document. It's not in its, you know, it's not even close to being complete. We can't do it without public comment, and that really is where we need to go next. So I think that pretty much is the Cliff Notes version of what's going to happen today. And without further ado, I will turn it over to Corey.
Thank you. So what I'd like to do is start at the beginning, right? And Margaret keyed in on this a little bit, but the Act requires that the RMP be reviewed at least once every 6 years. And the RMP goes a step further to say that we must establish a monitoring program, and that monitoring program must include indicators. It doesn't say what those indicators are, and it also doesn't tell us how exactly the RMP will be amended, or how future iterations of the RMP may come about. So, we've already discussed the Act and the RMP regarding the review process, but the Highlands Act provides 9 goals for the preservation area and 10 goals for the planning area. Those provide the foundation for the regional master plan. And those goals must be advanced no matter what happens going forward. The RMP expands on the goals of the Highlands Act in its own goals, policies, and objectives. And the programs that are in the RMP are the link between the goals, policies, and objectives and the implementation of the RMP itself. So the indicators that are required provide milestones for future monitoring, and they must monitor the implementation progress to inform future iterations of the RMP. Through this process, we identified 32 viable indicators, taking into account input from stakeholders, technical advisory committees, and public work sessions. And those indicators that were not analyzed as part of this process appear in Appendix A of your report and may be analyzed in the future as secondary indicators. Next is our implementation experience, right? So when you look at this slide here, we have the two boxes on the third row. There's indicators and analysis in our implementation experience. We have 9 years experience implementing the RMP. And so that analysis, coupled with the experience and council input and public input, leads us to the identification of issues. And those issues are RMP programs or policies that may need to be amended, updated, or expanded to better implement the Act. Those issues lead to recommendations. And where further research and investment is warranted by the Council, those recommendations appear in the science and research agenda. Again, as Margaret said, these recommendations are not amendments themselves. Some may become amendments in the future, and they would be required to follow that amendment process the Council adopted in January, which itself includes a robust public comment process. So I want to briefly walk through the other components of
the report before we get to the topic area chapters, but I ask that you keep this slide in mind because this is how the recommendations are structured. So the introduction to the report provides background on the Highlands Act requirements and the RMP guidance for establishing the monitoring program. We've already discussed how the Act and the RMP consider keeping the RMP current. And the introduction also includes a discussion of the report structure. As I said, we'll get back to the topic area chapters. The indicator analysis reports are a full analysis of the 32 viable indicators that I mentioned earlier. They're also mentioned in the topic area chapters. The analysis includes a relationship to the goals and programs of the RMP, description of the indicator, background, unit and frequency of analysis, status, trend, data confidence, milestones, and secondary or supporting indicators. The process summary identifies the process that was followed in the creation of this report, including public outreach, consultation with technical experts and state agencies, and the analysis of identified indicators. Summary of recommendations is a listing of every recommendation that appears in the topic area chapters. Again, those that require further study appear in the science and research agenda section. And then there's the list of supporting documents, which is a list of documents that were referenced in the creation of this report. And then the list of indicators considered, which is all the indicators considered during this process. Okay, so the topic area chapters, and this is where we're going to start to dive into a bit more detail. This is where the recommendations are. If council members can turn to page 46, the green tab, we're going to use the future land use chapter as an example, but all chapters follow an identical structure. So if we can go back to, you remember this slide from just a minute ago, right? This is the structure of those chapters. So, topic area chapters consist of two main sections, an introduction and the recommendations. The introduction states the Highlands Act goals related to the topic area, the summary of the RMP discussion on the topic area, the RMP programs related to the topic area. Again, these are the implementation mechanism used to advance the goals, policies, and objectives, and a listing of the indicators related to that particular topic area with a brief description. The second part, the recommendations section, are organized based on the program areas of that particular topic area. Where noted, new programs or amended program names are included to reflect changes or additions recommended. Each program category contains a summary of implementation activity, which includes a summary of related findings, related indicator findings. And again, if you recall that flowchart, right, that's the implementation experience coupled with the indicator analysis, right? Which leads us, again, to the identification of issues, which in turn leads us to recommendations. And that, again, includes the science and research agenda where further investment is warranted. Not all recommendations will lead to amendments. There are five general types of recommendations. The first is coordination, which is increased interaction with state and federal agencies. There's guidance and procedures, which expands upon RMP programs to better effectuate implementation. And addendums, those are items missing from the RMP or exist and are recommended to be adopted as a component of the RMP. And then there are RMP amendments. There are implementation, and this is where implementation of the Act and the RMP is not meeting expectations and modification to the RMP is recommended. And finally, the fifth section is the science and research agenda. Those are items that require further investment and study. So let's take a look at an example recommendation. If you can turn to the yellow tab, page 50. This is the recommendations section under program area redevelopment in the future land use topic area. Right, so we first have the summary of implementation activity to date. We've developed preservation area redevelopment procedures. They were presented to the council in December 2016, and we've designated 11 Highlands redevelopment areas. The indicator for this particular program area is Highlands Designated Centers and Redevelopment Areas. And the results of that indicator that we show increased economic and development activity in those areas. The program issues, there's two issues identified. Procedures have not been developed for the planning area, and those procedures have not been adopted as a component of the RMP. So that leads to the recommendations. Develop planning area redevelopment guidelines and expand the RMP by adopting documents. And that's really the extent of the recommendations. Some have more detail, others are more broad, but not all recommendations, as you can see, are amendments. And that's important to note because if you look at this chart, and this chart should be familiar, this is part of the amendment procedures. This flowchart represents the process required by the council, by the RMP amendment guidelines the council adopted in January. As you can see, we're now at the green section. The report is required to go to public comment, and a revised version will be presented to the council after we consider public comment and incorporate that into the document. And that all has to happen before we continue to the purple and blue sections. Any recommendations that could become RMP amendments require additional research, public input, and detail before we can present those recommendations, before we can present those amendments to the council for inclusion in the RMP, which is why we're asking the council to release this document to the, for public comment today so we can refine it. Margaret?
That's it. I didn't like that. Okay.
So, that is as far as we're going to go with a formal presentation. You may have noticed on your agenda that we referred to this as a work session because we wanted a little bit more informality and give and take between the council members and us. So, we now open the floor to you.
Before I start entertaining council members, I want to thank a lot of people for getting us to where we are here, including your staff who showed up here this evening. The amount of work they put in, under a lot of pressure, and the work that our committee put in, the hundreds of hours that put in by our committee, the TAC committees. There's a lot of people that put a lot of volunteer time into this. Your staff put a lot of time into this. And this is the first time we're able to do this since the act has been passed. So it's a good working document. I'm excited to get it before the public start getting their feedback on it. And from there, I'll open it up to council members for discussion. Yes, sir.
I sit on the committee, and I do want to, again, thank the staff. We had a lot of interaction. It was very good, and the staff, I think, really went above and beyond. One of the most important things is the way this has been organized. Master plan, if you've tried to read it, is a rather tortuous document. And there was concern on my part that we may end up falling into that same kind of thing with our recommendation reports. However, this is clearly defined. Every section is laid out identically. As you go through it, it's logical, it's complete, and I think it's a very, very good start. What you're going to find most of the recommendations relate to the science and the measurement of what's happening. And that's something that we haven't been able to do for the past number of years. We didn't have a mechanism to measure. We couldn't tell what was happening. And that needed to be done. And I think that the recommendations in here mostly head in that direction. Releasing this document today will open up the ability of the public to review these comments and to help us build the final report. Today's is a kickoff of a document, a framework that creates a something that can be commented on. Taking cold comments is very difficult, very inefficient, and mostly inappropriate, but this document really helps focus people, and you'll be able to go to the section where you're interested. You'll be able to get all the background in those several paragraphs from the Act, from the existing RMP, and what we think the recommendations are, and yours should be able to flow easily from that. I think this is something that is, as I say, a kickoff and a great, I think, a great start to the opportunity for public comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Since this isn't a working session, can we have the executive director or staff walk us through what the recommendations are so that we get a, you know, an overview as to what we're doing today?
Sure. I will let Corey do that because he's actually very well prepared.
How many recommendations are there?
About 137.
No.
So if you'll entertain me for
this meeting, no respect, Jack, this has been emailed to us. I don't want to sit here until 10 o'clock night reading until 136. This is, we'll have plenty of time on our own to read these, to ask questions, email staff. I don't want to go forward.
This will, if I may.
The final document. Yeah. So.
This, if we can turn to page 195.
I won't be here until 6
o'clock. Okay. On page 195, we have a summary of the recommendations because we anticipated questions like this from you and from the public as they went through this document. We pulled out all the recommendations from the different sections, from the different topic areas, and we put them all in one place so that you can look at them. The science and research agenda is in there, too. I will say that when we asked the Council for recommendations, Council Member Francis made one. It is in there in the science and research agenda. And again, I encourage you, because I think maybe when you read this, it will spur some maybe new ideas on your part. If you have recommendations at any time, please let us know.
When you look at these are only summaries. I'm sorry. When you look at these are only summaries. So if you have a question on one, go back to the topic area section, and I'll expand on the discussion of that individual recommendation.
Right, Margaret?
Yes.
Jim is here to call her name.
Hi, Jim.
On those recommendations, the review is going to be by staff, and then they're going to those recommendations. Pro and con are going to be presented to the council. I would look for both pros and con reasons why they're approved, if you will, or move forward, and the reasons exactly why the staff feels that they should not be moved forward. You know what I mean?
Can we identify who's speaking?
That's Council Member Vizioli.
Any proposals that come up later, Mr. Vizioli, is we'll come back before the committee as well, the committee and then the council for any approval if there's going to be any changes. If I understood you correctly.
Yes, I understand that, but what I'm looking for is the reasons why they could be moved forward and the reasons why perhaps that they should not be moved forward. You know what I mean? The reasoning behind the council's decision, the staff member's decision.
Well, we don't, you know, we just have provided the recommendations that we have gleaned over the past decade and also from comments from the public and the council. As staff, we're not going to recommend what you take out of this to move forward. That is entirely a council decision. We can tell you why we put some of the recommendations in, but this really is... we've said it's like will be your work plan for the next 6 years. It could be your work plan for the next 60 years. There's a lot in it. So council is the entity that will make a decision on what recommendations move forward, not staff.
Yes.
Okay, does that help, Jim?
Yes, I understand that entirely. But my question is, what is the staff's reasoning to move it forward or not to move it forward for council consideration? That's my point.
Okay.
Member Vizioli, this is Corey Piasecki. For each recommendation that appears in this plan under the topic area chapters, there are identified program issues. Right, and that's where we identify what is going wrong, essentially, or what needs adjustment to better implement the RMP. So hopefully we've provided ample explanation in there for you for the justification of including a recommendation in this report. But if a recommendation were to be selected by the council to move forward, we would be required to provide a whole bunch more documentation, research, and analysis in addition to that public input before anything would happen.
Yeah, let me clarify one thing, too. I believe there's a, if once you start reading this, there's going to be some just functionality type changes that need to be made. This is an original document, the first RMP. Whenever that happens, there are things that just, as Corey just pointed out, don't work, or it's not logical because of the way it was laid out. So I think there's going to be several items that are everybody will agree on to move forward because it makes sense. Then the other items, which I think you're concerned about, Jim, is how does it come out? Well, it would be the council members that pull it forward. And then we would ask staff to put together the rationale to or not to do one of these recommendations. They'll provide further input and work to us if that's one of the recommendations that we, as a body, decide to move forward with.
So let me ask a question. You say we, the body. You're saying the council, is it going to be the council or the committee? Does it go back to the committee, or are we collectively going to have a work session where we work through this stuff? Because if it's just the committee, then it's not the council. It's the committee.
It's the council that can do it. It might go back to the committee to work like on some of the detailed reports, but it all comes back to the council.
Jim, if I may. I got this a few days ago. I haven't had a chance to go through it in its entirety. Has anybody been able to go through this in its entirety yet?
No, but that's, again, we're not voting on anything in here to move forward. We're just voting on the ability for everybody in the audience to see it, but, not just
but,
us.
But don't you think that we should be able to go through it and intelligently sit and say, yes, I'm ready to have that go through before we give it to the public?
There's nothing to go, we're not suggesting anything go through. This is just a work document that was put together by science and professionals from the outside, inside. This is just a document of things that have been identified.
I understand that.
This is not moving forward any recommendation.
I understand that. I expected this to be a work session. No, and with all due respect, Rob, I expected this to be a work session where we were going to go through the recommendations, sit down, and become familiar with the document itself, and then decide to either move on or not move on. Now, at this point, you know, I haven't had a chance to go through the entire thing. You know, I'm uncomfortable, you know, putting it before the public before we even have a chance to, you know, finally go through it. Well, and I thought that's what we were going to do here today.
Well, we're perfectly happy to go through the recommendations, and we're prepared to do that.
And I would just add, Michael, that the committee members, we have thoroughly reviewed this. We had a meeting as recently as yesterday, and unanimously voted to release it to the entire council for their consideration, and that includes Mike Sevetich, who's at his Grand Rutgers College graduation today. Otherwise, he would be here as well and could state that for himself. And I think as you work through this now, and you know, one of the things that I was really pleased to see that the staff put together was that page 195 summary of recommendations, because one of the first things I asked yesterday when we opened our meeting was, you know, that the content is great. Is there a simple, easy way that we can review this in a condensed format? Corey looked at me and said, Kurt, I got you covered. Turn to 195, and we all gave a thumbs up and commended the staff on realizing that we needed an easy way to reference the significant points that we could then go back and research in more depth if we wanted to. And I encourage you to look through it. I think
I will. I haven't had the chance yet. You know, I think, you know, from my standpoint, we couldn't be cart before the horse a little bit. We're, you know, saying to, you know, staff, okay, send it out to the public. We haven't seen it yet. I want to be able to make an intelligent, you know, decision on what's in there before I release it anywhere. I think that's important.
If I may,
sure.
Let's turn that question around. Why would we withhold it from the view of the public?
I'm not saying, you know, withhold it. What I'm saying is delay that until we've had a chance to look at it.
I think that understood, but we now have a document that our staff has produced and spent a lot of time working on.
Right.
It has a lot of recommendations,
right.
A lot of information.
Right.
I don't see the ability to hold it from the public any longer.
This is the current document.
I understand. I don't feel the need to look at it first before sharing it with the public. I think we should be open and transparent and share this working document with everyone as soon as possible.
Right.
And then we as council members can look through it and make suggestions and ask questions at the same time as everyone here in the public. I just don't know. I wouldn't want to withhold it from them.
We agree to disagree, Rob.
Okay, fair enough.
The fact of the matter is, I want to become fully versed with it before, so that if somebody in the public says, "Well, what's this about? What's that about?" I can intelligently answer that question. I haven't had that opportunity at this point to do that. I'm not talking a delay of a long time. I'm talking about a month to sit down and go over it. And then, release it to the public from there. I'm just uncomfortable releasing it where we haven't even, nobody's gone through the whole thing. That ball.
Tracy. Obviously, the committee's gone through it. And the committee is a representative of the board. And I think that the impression we would take by not releasing it is that there may very well be.
Oh, quick!
Like it's still working.
Come again, Jim.
I would think that we're to the point that we're going to release it. I think if we were to not release it today, that the impression of the public, as it would be my impression, is that you would only be removing stuff from the recommendations. And the opportunity to give it to the public is to add opportunity to add recommendations and to refine the recommendations that are made.
I have no intention of removing anything at this point. I haven't seen it at this point. What I want to do is, we're talking about a document that is probably the most important document any of us has dealt with here. Okay? And, my question is, why are we rushing this, when we can sit back for a month, go through it, and, get it to the public in June? I mean, is there that much of a rush on this?
Well,
I want to become familiar with it.
We talked about a 30-day public input on it.
Right.
And I suggested we extend it to
60.
But initially it was 30. And I'd like to get it out there for those full 60. I don't want that to be cut into.
We had to meet and
hold on, Ms. Carbuccio, and then Mike.
First of all, I appreciate the work the committee has done. However, not all of us are on that committee. I have asked repeatedly to be on that committee and have been barred from being appointed by the chair on that committee. So, whereas I do appreciate the committee has spent time on it, I don't feel that covers my need to be very familiar with this document. I did go through a couple chapters. We got it on May 12th, so we've only had it about a week. And I can see that it's very important not to just go over the recommendations, but to follow the logic that was spelled out by our staff here about how they arrived at those recommendations. And so I would think that us sitting here and just looking at recommendations is really not a thorough analysis on our own part of what's in this report. I really feel the need to go through the document myself, and I think all of our council members have trusted to a certain extent that committee work and staff work would be done, but that ultimately the release of the recommendations report to the public is based on a council.
This is not the release of the recommendation
report.
This is a draft document that is being released so we can get together with the public and the council to come up with a final document.
Release of the draft, I misspoke. Not recommendation draft.
Some of the recommendations.
But second of all, it's not a matter of getting it out to the public. It's a matter of having a clock ticking. And if we have a more thorough analysis of what's in this report before it goes out, the council is conversant with it. When it goes out, the clock can start ticking then. But there's a limited amount of time that this report is going to be out for public analysis. It's better that it go out with the council knowing what's going out there than not. So I recommend, too, that we not let this out, that we spend time going through this. If it takes an extra session, perhaps outside of our June meeting, to go through this, but at least give enough time for the council members, which, because we all work, none of us, have the luxury of sitting down and reading it straight through, I don't think. We really need to have at least a 30-day period for the next meeting before I would feel ready.
Mr. Francis?
I'm not sitting here pretending I'm going to know the answers to anything. because the answer to all of these is sitting out there, not here. And so the public CNE recommendation or not CNE is not going to change your recommendation. Whether we understand them or not, it's not going to change these bullet points, which may or may not remain here at the end of the day when we're all done with it. But I would really support getting this draft of some of these ideas, which may or may not stand by their own merits, when we get input from the public. We can sit here as a council and give our opinions, technically or not, on all of these. But what holds weight with me is what comes out of that people who take the time to come here, number one, who would take the time to communicate as a result of seeing this. So you come saying, well, that, you know, that recommendation number four, that's a lot of baloney, and then we could substantiate or not. But I would be very anxious to hear from the interested parties or the affected parties on what's going on with this. So whether or not we take time as a council or individuals to thoroughly understand the well first in it, it might, quite frankly, some of these might be a waste of time to be very thoroughly familiar with them. And so that's almost disregarding what some of the folks in the public who are very well versed on that law of these issues would come. It would get that information to us sooner. And so whether or not I thoroughly understand all these recommendations is really not a big issue with me. What's a big issue with me is getting them out there, getting our folks, whether it's agriculture, whether it's forestry, whether it's lake, all of the above, whether it's the future redevelopment planning area, that's going to be an interesting discussion. But, you know, that's part of the key to that. We can't sit here and pretend we have them answers, because we don't. We have an opinion. But the answers are right out there. All them folks sitting out there, that's where our answers come from.
30 days is not going to change this document.
No. Chairman. And so if we feel that we can't do the right jobs, then we redo it again. I won't be driven by a clock. I'll be driven by what folks have to say in their respective interests.
Chairman, first of all, I realize the amount of work that went into this, and I think the committee did a terrific job on this. I find that the work that is done in committees on this council is usually extraordinary. So let me just say that. Number two, you just said something that I thought was very pointed. You said 30 days is not going to make a difference on this document. And I agree with that. And that's why I'm asking for the 30 days to, let this document...
It's not going to change the document.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. This document is going to be the exact same 30 days from now as it is now. You know, I'm uncomfortable.
So you're only saying that you're holding it from the public interest?
No, I want to be able to give somebody an intelligent reason why this recommendation is in the document when I don't know at this point. If I get buttonholed by somebody in the public and says that we went through this document on the master plan and there's this recommendation, and why did this recommendation become part of the document? I don't know. I look like a fool. I have no answer, and I want to be able to at least sit there and say to the public, constituents, whatever you want to call them, this is the reasoning for it. I'm familiar with it. This is what staff wanted. This is why staff wanted it, and be able to go on that basis. To do anything else, I think is shortcutting what I'm here to do.
Don't support delays.
That is exactly my point.
Who's speaking?
We have to feel comfortable with it to say yay or nay, and I want to know exactly the reasoning behind a yay or a nay, and why it should be included, perhaps why it should not be included.
If I may, Chair.
Yes, please.
A couple things. First of all, I was the chair. I was also excluded from this committee. So I'm with you, Tracy. I feel very left out. That being said, I am fortunate to serve on a different committee, the Compensation Committee. And we had similar circumstances in the Compensation Committee a few short months ago when we presented our rule change for the open space program. And this council, to their credit, gave a great deal of deference to that rule and allowed it to be put out to the public for comment without council digesting the rule for 30 days. We just put it out. And council members, other than those on the committee, got the same amount of time to review that rule as did the public. So I think this is a very similar circumstance. I think as a member of one committee, I'd like to treat members of the other committee with the same deference and equality that they treated us. That's one. Two, if the clock expires, we're still not comfortable with the document, we don't adopt it. We extend the clock. We give ourselves another month, another meeting to decide whether or not to adopt this thing. That's point two. So I don't think if we set 30 days or 60 days of comment, we can, as a council, decide not to take action on the document after that period of time. We can let it sit on the shelf. We can give ourselves another 30 days. That doesn't define the time that we get to review the document. Two, if someone were to buttonhole me, and I understand that concern, Judge, my answer would simply be, well, I got it the same time you did. We're all looking at it together, and I'm going to find out what that means if I don't have the answer to that specific question. And when the time comes to vote, I will know. So that, I understand your concern. I just don't share to the same degree. I think we should put this out for people to review and look at. And I've yet to hear a compelling reason other than our own desire to be in the know first to not put it out. To Mr. Vizzioli's point, I think that's a reasonable question. And perhaps our staff, not that I want to ask a few more than they've already done, but perhaps we can take that chart on 195 and add to it a pro and con column in which you put a point or two about what are the pros and cons, what is the genesis of this. And that can be done concurrently, Mr. Vizzioli, with our own reading of this document and the public reading of this document. I think all of this can be done together, get it out into the hands of the people. I guess right come down on it. I just don't see a reason not to share it.
Yeah. I don't see a reason to withhold it from the public. We always talk about getting things to the public, you know.
Yeah, one of the things I was going to mention later, but I'll mention it now, is that staff will make ourselves available to the public who have questions, either individually or a group. So I would encourage anyone who has a question about this, and we anticipate that there are going to be plenty from the public to, you know, call us.
A ton of feedback, which will
right.
Get
call us up, come in. We're happy to explain it. We, you know, welcome the opportunity to get live feedback from the public, but we will make ourselves available to anyone who wants to talk about it.
Well,
Margaret, I wouldn't expect anything less.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here listening to everybody's arguments and
you are going to the mic so that people can hear the phone too.
Okay. I'm hearing all the arguments, pro and con, as to releasing it. And we're talking about 30 days doesn't make any difference. So I have maybe a compromise. I don't know if this will go over or not. But if we do release it today, let's change the period from 60 days to 90 days. That will give everybody, including the council and the public, plenty of time. I don't think that 60 days or 90 days will make a difference as far as, you know, let's do it the right way. We've always talked about having transparency, and 90 days will give everybody, including the council, plenty of time to discuss this with the staff. So I'd like to hear if, you know, what you feel about that.
Well, we already extended it from 30 to 60, so next month it should be 120.
It's a never-ending. It's really important. It's really a lot of information.
I think so. Member Walt said it best. Is if we get to that 60 days and there's enough stuff coming in here, we can defer that for another 30 days.
Well, this way we could. This way we know we're going to have 90 days. We get to 60, we may have a vote, we may disagree, and we're going to have another argument about it. Let's give you 90 days.
Carl, to further buttress my wonderful argument, the chair, if after 60 days there's not 8 votes to approve it, it would not, they'd have to go to the 30 days. So the people who would want it approved would have a choice. Either it fails, or you send another 30 days. I think it would provide you with the security of knowing that if it's not acceptable after 60, that we can still send that 30 days to 90.
Or, we may have that choice today. You might have 90 days keeps it from failing.
You're right,
we might.
What I've heard from the public about this, because this hasn't been released to them yet, is that they don't think 60 days is enough time. So let's give them 90 days. I don't know if there's a need that we need to move this quickly.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
But that doesn't address the issue of the council being confident in material that we're supposed to be releasing to the public for review after we have looked at it. We've only had this 6 days.
We did that. We did the same thing with the open space rule, Tracy.
And I voted against it. And that was one of the reasons. I think we need to have adequate time to be competent as a council when we're issuing things to the public that are supposed to be coming from us.
So, Carl, you were a teacher. You know that if you have 30 days, it all comes in on the 29th day. If you give them 60 days, everything shows up on the 59th day. And if you give them 90 days, everything shows up on the
59th day. You don't ever compare anything with school. School goes by their own rules.
Chairman, I move that we come out of the work session so that we can then make a motion to vote on 30, 60, or 90 days or nothing.
I don't think we have to make a motion to come out of work session, but I will entertain a motion for the RMP, number 11 RMP Amendment Committee report being released to the public.
Okay. I'll make that motion that we give a 60-day waiting period or review period.
I'll second that.
Motion and second.
Discussion.
We're voting on releasing this to the public.
With a 60-day.
Well, I thought we're doing that later on.
No, I moved it up.
He moved it up.
Discussion.
Isn't there public input?
No.
On this?
There is. Just a voice vote.
Oh, that's... Okay, well, that just changed my vote.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes. Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
No.
Councilmember Richko.
I thought I gave a good compromise. No.
Councilmember Sevetich. Councilmember Tifang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. One of the majority vote, but not enough to pass.
I move we release the document with a 90-day period.
I'll second the motion.
No. I will not vote on it without input from the public.
Then don't vote on it, Carl.
I'll vote. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hold it to the next meeting. I think at least one member missing that is complete support of getting this to the public. I apologize to the public on behalf of the board for not.
Well, it's a point of order, Chairman. You have a motion to second.
I didn't hear a second. I'm sorry.
No, I seconded it.
You did. We have a motion and a second on the floor. I'm not going to play the game either, so we'll call this.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
This is for 90 days.
This is not.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
No.
Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Tifang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Of course. What? Everybody in this dais, about 3 minutes ago, said 90 days and I vote for yes for it, and now you guys are all voting no.
Thank you.
Not us.
Mr. Walton, please. Continue roll call, please. Continue roll call. Yes. Same vote.
Seven.
We'll hold it for the next meeting. Again, I started to apologize to the public for you not being able to see this document. I believe it should be out there. I think some think this will delay things. It may not delay things at all. It just may delay. It may hurt the amount of time the public gets to see it. So I think it's an important document. I think it's a transparent document. I think once you see this document, you'll see that there's nothing mind-numbing in here that's changing the act in any way, in any significant way. I do think it clarifies some things, straightens out some items. It's very disappointing that you will not get to see it, but you know how that vote went, and we'll entertain it at the next meeting and we'll decide on the time frame then, which could be shorter or longer.
Just to be clear, this is confidential and privileged and not to be shared until the council votes to release it, correct?
Yep.
So no one else should see it, other than council members and staff.
We need a
couple seconds to move to our usual positions?
Please do, but I'm going to continue because it's
okay.
There are just some roll call things. Approval of filing council meetings March 16th. Can I get a motion, please?
I shall move.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Wait, you have public comment. How do you vote on this thing?
Roll call, please.
Yes. Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richmond.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Approval of Highlands Council Executive Session Minutes of March 16th. Get a motion, please.
So moved.
Sorry. Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Motion for approval of the Highlands Development Credit Bank minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Yes. Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. I have the chairman's report. Margaret?
Yes. Before I get to my executive director report, I think Councilmember Walton has a report out.
You really want to speak?
Yeah. If you don't want to, I'll do it for you.
Please.
Yeah. You want to? Okay. So, when we talked about our grant program for next year, we had decided in terms of allocating money that we would hold out $2.4 million for the next year of federal grants. That grant has been authorized by the federal government. We are applying for another $2.4 million, so we should have around $5 million for open space preservation in the next round. And the other news that is good is that we are the lead agency for applying for the Highlands Conservation Act funding for New Jersey. Green Acres has given not only their blessing but their encouragement for us to continue as lead agency. So we've got a live open space program. I think that is an enormous step for us as an organization. I'm really excited. I hope you are too, because this puts us on the map a little bit.
Jim?
Mr. Jim? I just have one question.
Please,
the executive director. Has the resolution been sent down to Trent and the legislature and the governor that we passed with regard to the compensation?
The water fee one?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any idea when? We've heard nothing back from anyone?
We've heard back from four representatives.
Okay.
Let me tell you who.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Senator Bucco, and Senator Sweeney, and the two assembly people in his district.
And reaction?
It was, we will, if this comes before us, we will take your letter under advisement.
In reference to the
told by Senator Sweeney that he wouldn't do that. Yeah.
In reference to some federal funding. While we're unable to release things to the public, we have been very successful, although small, in creating some funds available for impacted landowners. We know it's nowhere near enough to take care of the impacts that the Act brought down upon them.
but at least it's efforts that we've made in the last few years to try to get some funding in place. Continue, Ms.
Just a few things on plan conformance implementation in Bedminster Township. The Highlands referral ordinance was deemed consistent and adopted by the municipality, and also the Highlands exemption determination authorization was adopted, and we issued certification. On HTC bank credit allocation and purchase update in Mount Olive, 10 HTCs were requested and allocated, but I don't request that they were allocated. On municipal issued exemptions, Byram Township in Sussex County issued one exemption 4, Montville Township in Morris County issued one exemption 5, and just as a note for the June meeting, I know you all have the state water supply plan because I sent it to you. Dan Kennedy, who is the Assistant Commissioner for Water Resources for the state of New Jersey, is tentatively scheduled to come up and discuss that plan with us. It's not definite yet, but I wanted you to be aware that that may be, there's a, quite a like, good probability that that's going to happen.
Speaking of the DEP, there was just released an appellate division case with regard to the DEP and
the Highlands.
Yeah, it's going to committee, and it'll be back before us probably next week.
Okay. Which one, Belmead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where they indicated that the Highlands must give its input. I hope that, you know, in addition to any staff input, that it would be brought here before the whole council for determination by the council.
That's the plan. We have it on the agenda for the plan conformance meeting, which is next Tuesday at 2. I know Carl Rich could... Carl's on that. I forget who else at the moment, but
I am.
Yeah, well, there you go. We'll be talking about it Tuesday. So, and then we expect it to come to the council in June. And that keeps it well within their 60-day time frame.
Anything else on the executive director's report?
That was it.
Number 11 has been addressed, so at this point in time, we'll open it up to the public. I'd like to remind everybody to keep their comments to 3 minutes or less. If anybody in the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, Executive Director of New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The appellate division decision that the judge just referenced was a decision that came about because the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, with the guidance and assistance of the Eastern Environmental Law Center, as well as Brown Headwaters Association, the Township of Reddington, and the Sierra Club, sued the DEP over a permit decision that they made. And I want to, it's not a long decision. I would recommend that each of you take the time to read it. It's only 12 pages long. But there are some key things that it says. It says that the DEP shall give great consideration and weight to the regional master plan. That the DEP shall not issue any, and the underlined, and this is their underlining in the decision, any permit the DEP determines in consultation with the Highlands Council to be incompatible with the resource protections and goals in the regional master plan. The DEP cannot issue a permit for the planning area, not for the conforming planning area, for the planning area, if the permit is incompatible with the goals of the regional master plan. To ensure that the DEP does not grant a permit that is incompatible with the RMP's goals, the DEP must consult with the Highlands Council on permit applications for the planning area. We have handed you a great tool. Please use it wisely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none. Yes, sir.
My name is Tom Wagner. In the past, money was distributed based on pecking order that the committee determined, primarily guided by the source of the funds. Now I understand there's $5.4 million in the, I don't know what the timing is, but it appears to be in the foreseeable future. how will the pecking order of distribution of those funds be determined? What will it be based on?
The same thing has been based on since we started this most recent round of credit purchasing and open space purchasing. And that criteria was not decided by the committee, it was decided by the full council. So if you look at the ranking that we've made public, you'll see that we have won the first, whatever it is, 40 properties, and there are another 50 below it. We would tend to use that money to purchase the ones that have not yet been purchased.
It was my understanding that that list, that ranking, was based on proximity to an area that generated this money.
That's one of the criteria. And that criteria is for land that is impacted by the PSCG transmission line. However, the money we're getting from the federal government would only be a matching part of that. That's not the only criteria. We are free to purchase land that has nothing to do with the power line impact. That simply puts you at the top of the line should you be an impacted property.
And under what basis will it be determined to spend some of these monies on newly applied for open spaces instead of the people that had their land taken, you know, 13 years ago?
Well, we have not created a new round of open space applications. We had a round of those applications came in. That round is closed. And we purchased some but not all of those properties. My preference would be that the committee recommend to the council that we continue down the credit list, the compensation credit list, until all of the properties are bought before we reopen another round of open space applications. It's my preference. That would be, I can expect that the committee will recommend to the full council when and if the federal grant funds come in. We also may have money, because some people may not accept the offer we make, and some properties may not close. In case we begin to move a little further down the list, we'll know better about that. I think September is the time we're going to get for that. So that's the game plan for the compensation actions of this council and that committee.
Soon enough, the final plan has not been drawn up yet, so once it's drawn up, you'll hear about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, I'll close it. Yes, sir.
Dave, you want to go first?
Go ahead.
Pat Moffitt, PPAC. The council ignores evidence the material Highlands claims supporting its planning policies were fabricated. Evidence reveals a Highland Coalition plan presented to the state that bypassed the safeguards preventing regulatory abuse enabled the apparent misconduct. RPA, it appears, organized the Highlands Coalition, sits on its boards, as a means to stop Highlands growth it views as a threat to the urban interests it represents. Council failed to disclose Anthony Davis, who allegedly investigated the misconduct without ever producing a written report, was a recent trustee of a Highlands Coalition member organization co-founded by RPA. The council's executive director, it appears, Ms. Nordstrom, if your husband is the trustee of the Levins Foundation, provided hundreds of thousands of dollars to the organizations recommended to act as the update stakeholders and advisors. Council is aware that North Jersey District Water Supply Commission admits the alleged Highlands Water Study that the RPA advised Highlands Task Force claims showed an impending water supply catastrophe does not exist and there are no other supporting studies. There would be no Highlands Council today without the RPA advised Task Force fabricated claims. And yet this council hires an RPA employee to write your RFP who recommends his former employer to become your prime consultant and then puts him in charge of the update process. The council has never disclosed RPA's long history of RPA advocacy and lobbying, never disclosed PlaceWorks CEO as a member of RPA's leadership advisory team, Courtney Mercer was RPA's New Jersey director, or that blasting the alleged FIA peer reviewer is RPA's partner in Highlands advocacy, funded by the foundations where it appears Ms. Nordstrom's husband is a trustee. The council ignored repeated requests to address misconduct evidence, certify its studies, validate its models, and create an enforceable code of conduct that should have been put in place before this process even began. Why should the public, as Ms. Carluccio says, have any confidence of anything the staff says if it's unwilling to sign and certify its studies? The present members will own the things that were called happened a long time ago or happened in the past if it completes this update process without an independent, unbiased review of the RMP and the submitted evidence of misconduct.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear on any issue? Yes, sir, in the back.
Do I state my name? Or...
Yes, your name, please.
Good evening. My name is Doug Ruscione. Good evening, council and everyone else here. I'm hailing from Ringwood, New Jersey, and the gentleman that just spoke before me, I would feel rather remiss not addressing the impending possible threat on the Wanacue Reservoir from the Ford Motor Company Superfund site in Ringwood, New Jersey, that lies a mile upstream from the Wanacue Reservoir. You know, there were talks about amendments to the Highlands Regional Master Plan, and although I do not know the Highlands Act or the Regional Master Plan front to back, I do not know if there is any provision in the Act or in the Regional Master Plan that pays attention to areas in the Highlands planning and preservation areas that are not meeting the Highlands requirements, such as Ringwood with the Superfund site threatening the second largest reservoir in the state. I'm not so sure what could be done at this point, being that the borough of Ringwood and Ford Motor Company has worked to make sure that sections of this Superfund site is left in place instead of being removed as originally mandated by the EPA. So I come now to the Highlands Council in these talks of amending the regional master plan and making changes that there should be some attention and conversation started to areas that are not, in fact, upholding the Highlands standard that we are trying to uphold here in New Jersey. It's definitely a very serious issue, and I'm sorry for not coming down here earlier, honestly, but that's about it. So talking about all these changes, that's something that needs to be paid attention to, especially now with things that are moving very quickly in Ringwood. Thank you.
Great. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Hal Danielson from Hadley, Massachusetts, and I do own property in the borough of Hampton. And you're undergoing a new regional master plan update. And in that, so there could be no questions or anything else, I'm strongly suggesting that an independent scientific advisory committee be formed to review this and give their recommendations. Granted that many of you on the council have expertise, but maybe not in the scientific areas, which would be needed for such a study. And that's why I think that this should take place to give it strong validity. With that, I guess that's about it.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
My name is David Shope, and I have a couple things. Item number one, are you, I asked this before the bank board, providing a fact sheet to advise people who are submitting applications for relief by the bank of how the $16,000 per HDH credit is derived. We all know that it starts at 90 grand and ends up at 16. And I think the people who submit applications to this bank need to know how that happened and how the screwing is taking place. And I would like an assurance from you that the work session that was presented today in booklet form that was due to be released and was not undergoes no changes from what was presented today to what's going to be released eventually. No changes, no fiddling with it. Highlands Act grants landowner equity. How is this goal being ranked? I hear about little tweety birds and toads and salamanders and stuff. Where is the landowner equity provision in the Act ranked amongst you? I'd like to see the ranking. RPA, as your staff is shot through with RPA presence in the form of alumni and other connections. And I have excerpts from the 1992 U.S. Forest Service Executive Summary, word cites, a roundtable briefing paper prepared September 1991 by the Regional Plan Association, blah, blah, blah. Regional Plan Association was involved in this early on, and it talks about farming in the Highlands is becoming less attractive as development increases. 1992. And you're trying to force farming on the land that's up here? I think that this was noted years ago. World market competition and pricing, another force against farming. Little or no interest by family members to continue farming. Excessive regulations. That's your job. Excessive regulations. Development pressure and buyout offers. Large capital investments and debt loads with marginal net income. All cited in 1992.
Thank you for your comments.
Yeah, time is right. But I'm not done yet. No, that's all right. So, I've given you a little to-do list. I hope you do it. Most particularly, preserving the integrity of what was...
I'll personally tell you anything that changes out of here.
I beg your pardon?
I'll personally tell you if anything changed out of here. It's not gonna
no, I don't want to. I don't want you to tell me if anything changed. I want you to tell me that nothing changed.
I plan on nothing changing. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Palatcon. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been up here. I'm sure most of you still recognize me. I can tell you nothing's really changed up here. The joke becomes bigger and bigger every time I come, even after not being here a while. What an embarrassment what I've seen up here today. What kind of voting is that? I don't know how you live with yourselves. I mean, I get how some of you live with yourselves, honestly. I mean, when there's ice cubes in there, honestly, you can go along with anything. But I do know there's some of you up there that have a heart. But how do you sleep at night? I really don't. It's pathetic. Do any of you listen to Mr. Moffitt? This whole thing is a big joke. But yet you sit up there like nothing's going on and keep screwing us out here. No money. No money. We're working on it. We're working on it. I guess you're all waiting for us to pass away or something. I don't get it. I'm younger, I think, than most of you. So I'm planning on being around, so I'll keep coming, but I don't know, yous aren't looking any better. It's got to be no sleep.
Any other comments?
I'm sorry?
Any other comments?
Yeah, I'm not done.
Okay.
Still working on it. How do you do it? Maybe I was brought up different. I don't know, but this is really bad. It's really a shame. Somebody getting paid here, whatever. We got people out here talking about saving the water, but they neglect to tell you they don't live 300 feet from it. They don't live 100 feet from it. They actually live 15 feet. Their house is 15 feet from the water all the way around. But they're up here telling me how I can't do nothing on my land 300 feet away when their septic shit's going right into the stream. That's okay. If they really cared that much, they'd sell that house. But they don't. Instead, they'd rather give me a hard time than everyone else. I really wish this board would start being honest with themselves. Then they could work with being honest with the rest of the people. Thank you.
comments? Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Name's Hank Blunt. I'm a farmer in Tewksbury on a preserve farm, which we were forced to in because of politics. The regional master plan took 4 years the first go around, so I think the judge was worried because I'd get after him asking some questions and he wouldn't be able to give me the right answers. So, Judge, I really appreciate your effort.
We'll have them all next month.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would be fantastic. But the answers that I really like to have is, where is the money we were promised for the land? We're and all this stuff here, all this regional master plan, you people and these people that you've hired are telling us what we can do and can't do on our own farm. And that's kind of backwards in my thinking. But powers that be, politics play different, and we happen to be the ones that got hurt. And I think what Mr. Kern said very soon is we're not going to be around much longer. It's been 12 years. I'm not getting any younger. And the next generation really isn't interested in farming. What do you do with your land when you can't farm it anymore? Because you're too old.
Lose it to taxes.
Lose it to taxes. There you go. That's an answer. But if you go back, there was a report done by Hartstein for the Warren County freeholders. And the estimated value of what was lost in the Highlands was $15 billion. And I say $15 billion. This was an actual study done. So I really like what comes out. We'll get to some people. But again, these people are, and Dave Schultz said, that they're taking a beating. $16,000 for something that was probably, you know, 70, 80. Come on. And it's a last-ditch effort. But it's just unfair to all the landowners. And we're not politic, and we'll probably never be, but maybe we should be. But who's got the time? So, and I appreciate the work that's done, the committee that's done the work, and so forth and so on. But it's not going the farmer's way. Let's put it that way. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else in the public room, if you heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Seeing none, we will not close the public portion. Before entertaining a motion to adjourn, I would like to thank our staff. I really asked and called upon them to step up and get this document done so we can get it to the public in a timely fashion. And you came through, Margaret, and your staff. And thank you for that. And nobody should be fooled in the public. This is nothing more than a delay. It has nothing to do with anything else. So on that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.